Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Avodah Zarah Chav Tes. We begin 10 lines off the top of the Amud, back to some good sound medical advice offered by the Gemara, some of which relates to Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Malin, one can restore unkli. It's like a flap, some sort of internal flap near the heart, which had popped out of its place. So that poses a serious health hazard, and that can be restored even on Shabbos. Malin unkli, one can put back the unkli, push it back into place, b'Shabbos. My unkli, what exactly is this? Amar Rabbi Abba, istumcha, it's like a little flap, the liba, near or under the heart, which can disturb one's breathing. Maya susa. So how exactly do we do this? What's the remedy? What's the medicine taken for this condition? Says the Gemara Maisi, he gets a hold of the following ingredients. Kamoina, that's the cumin spice. Kuruya, a handful, a fistful of it. Vininya, that's mint. V'agadna, some sort of other. V'tzitri, some translated as savory. V'avadata, that's the hyssop grass, that's the azoiv that we use for the paraduma. So all of these are ground together and mixed into some liquid. Now it depends exactly what his condition is. So we have various choices of liquids, which will serve as antidotes to various types of conditions. If the concern is the heart condition just mentioned, laliba, so then he takes this powder, bechamra, mixes it into wine, and has a drink. We see manach to remember, we have the pasuk, v'yayin yisamach levav enesh, so wine gladdens one's heart. Lerucha, this is some ruach, some sort of a fever or something. Rashi says it's shachefes, shemachamemes, ruach, so it's considered like a ruach-related ailment. Yisht, so he should drink, yisht eilu b'mayim, says Rashi. So again, if he's suffering from some sort of ruach condition, lerucha, some sort of fever, b'maya, he takes all those ingredients, mixes it with water, v'simonech. If you want to remember, take a look at the pasuk v'ruach lekim rachefes. So the ruach ailment is addressed with something that relates to water. Al pnei hamayim. Finally, we have a third condition which is going to be treated similarly. Lekuda, Rashi says, this is a choli of a woman who just gave birth and became extra chilled. So you take those ingredients and mix it with beer b'shichra, and you have a drink. V'simanech, to remember this one, we have the pasuk v'kado al shichma. So the word shichma contains the shin and the chaf, two letters in the found in the word shechor as well. So it's similar wording, similar spelling. And that's for the condition of kada, which is similar to kuda mentioned previously. So we have three different ailments that are treated similarly, basically using the same powdered ingredients, but depending on the condition, so the liquid used in implementing this medicine. Rav Acha bar de Rava, so what did he do? Shachak lehu lekulu badi adodi. So he would actually grind all these ingredients together, v'shakalem lechamish etzba'asei, and he would take five finger fills, meaning basically a handful, and would insert it into the liquid, v'shasilei, and he would drink it like that. Rav Ashi, on the other hand, he would do it a bit differently. Shachik kol chad v'chadochudei. He would grind each ingredient separately, v'shakalem mloy etzba'asei rabasi. He would take his thumb, together with his small fingers, pinky, and he would take like this pinch and take the ingredient between these fingers, and as much as it would pinch, that's how much he would take, basically, and dump it into that liquid, the appropriate liquid, and drink it. So he would grind it separately, and then he would take a pinch of each, mix it with the liquid, and have a drink. Amar Rav Papa, I didn't have such good experience with this potion. Ano Abdil Cholchani, I tried all these ingredients related to soy. It didn't do me much good. Did not heal me until I found the magic potion. The Amar Li Avotai, until I was told by this Arab merchant. He was he gave me an expert potion. He said, "I see kuza chadata." He says, "Bring a jug, a container, a new one. Fill it with water." And insert into the water. Taravada, that's a large spoonful of duvsha, of honey. Not just regular honey. The talilebe koichvi, which had been sitting out under the stars. So you mix that up and you have a drink, and you'll be all good. Ulamachar. So in fact, you leave it till the next day. Ishti, and you drink it. Avdi hachi, so I tried it. Vitzoi, and I was healed. Tanu Rabbanan. Shisha Dvaram, the following. Six foods, six items, are actually very helpful for an ill person. Merapin es hachoyle mecholyoi, they can serve to heal an ill person from his sickness. Urefu osan refua, and they have a permanent effect. It's a long-term remedy. What are these six things that are deemed healthy and medically beneficial? Kruv, cabbage, utrud and beets, or mesisin, juice from this sisin plant, ivesha, which had been dried up, the kevas, that's the fourth stomach of an animal called the keva, the haras, that's the womb of an animal, the yerseres hakaved, the flap near the liver of an animal. Yesh oimrim, some add, avdogim ktanim, likewise small fish. V'loyoid, furthermore, elashadogim ktanim, mafr, no marbin, kogovish al odam. These are so healthy, they invigorate the entire person, the entire body, these small fish, sardines. Asara dvarim, however, this is in contrast to the following 10 things which are actually dangerous. Machzirin esachayli l'cholyoy, can restore, can... if an ill person engages in these, it can set him back and actually exacerbate the cholyei kashan, exacerbate his illness. Eluhein, what are these 10 things? Some are food, some are experiences. So regarding foods, we have oichel basar shoyer, if one eats the meat of an ox, shuman, some actually consider this a separate item, referring to some like fatty material. Some actually put it together. Shur, basar, shur, shamein. So fatty ox, meat from an ox. Basar tzoli, roasted meat. Basar tzipar and poultry. Ubeis atzluya, roasted egg. Vashachlaim, that's the cress vegetable. Vitaglachas, or if one gets a haircut while he's unwell, it's not very beneficial. Umerchatz, or he spends time in the bathhouse. Ugvina, or cheese, vikaved, or liver. Vishayim, some add. Afegoizim, walnuts. Vishayim, afkishuin. Large cucumbers, Tana, Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, Lomar Nikro Shman Kishuin. In fact, why are they called by this name? Because the Lashon Kishuin has the letters Kuf Shin, which is Kasha. It's difficult. It can be detrimental. V'pnei Shehein Kashin, Chogufa Shaladim Kacharavis, because these cucumbers can be very harmful. Chogufa Shaladim to a person's body, Kacharavis, like a sword. Okay, V'ein Mestapirmen Cholmok, and back to the Mishnah. What about getting a haircut from a Goyish barber? Can you trust him with his tools, or is it considered a safety hazard? So, according to Rav Meir, you never do that. According to Rabbanon, well, if it's in Rosh Hashanah in public, then that serves as a deterrent and ensures the client's safety. But not if it's in a place where it's somewhat secluded. Tanu Rabbanon, Yisrael haMistaper Moivet Kechavim. What if a yid needs to take a haircut from a guy? Is there any way to do it? Well, Raya Bimara. One solution is, should be holding a mirror, peering through the mirror. This way he'll keep an eye on the guy. That's what we think at this point. Later the Gemara elaborate, explain this a bit further. So the mirror serves as a protective measure. On the other hand, if your guy is getting a haircut from a Jewish barber, Now, they had a minhag in those days that they, you know, they sort of shaved the whole head, except for the back area. They left this long, strand, this like ponytail, which they would reserve and keep until some time later, and then they would shave it in honor of the Avodah Zarah. In fact, even in, even today in India and in some places, they have this similar type of custom where they shave the long hair in honor of the Avodah Zarah. So a Yid cannot help assist a bet in any way in preparing this this long hair, which is called Ibloiris. So he has to pull back. He has to keep away, keep a distance from that, glob of hair. So what does he do? So if a guy is taking a haircut from a yid, once the yid reaches that area of the bloiris, he pulls back his hand. Amar, Yisrael hamestaber mevkicha. Okay, so if Yisrael is taking a haircut from a guy, so he employs that mirror solution. Roya b'mara. So all the while he'll be peering through the mirror and keeping an eye on the guy. Hey Chidami, now, what's the location? Where is this haircut taking place? If it's in the street or a barbershop right off the street in full view of the public, then he's automatically protected. Lamali mara, skip the mirror. If it's in a quiet area, kiroya mayhavi. How is that mirror going to protect him if the guy wants to attack him? Answers the Gemara, certainly we're speaking about a private area. V'kivan de'ikam mara. But since he's employing that mirror, mischazik adam choshev. It's not like the mirror is going to protect him. But the fact that he's even using a mirror, that tells the guy something about this, the client's taste for finesse and style. Because he's looking out and he's, keeping an eye on the way the haircut is progressing, paying attention to the style, to the detail, which gives the guy an impression that this fellow isn't your regular, run-of-the-mill fellow. He's an Adam Choshev, he's a prominent person, a person of status, in which case the guy will think twice before attacking him. Rav Chana Bar Bizna, he was taking a haircut by a guy, Hava Mistapen Wavit Kichav. But it wasn't, on the main street, it was in the back alleyways leading to the city of Narda. It wasn't a well-traveled route. During the haircut, the barber turns to him and says, Chana, that was his name, Rav Chana. Chana, yoi, kuech, your neck is perfect to be cut by my scissor, lazuka, basically. You're lucky I'm not killing you on the spot. Amar, so Rav Chana thought to himself, he says, this is really my fault. Tasily, this fear, this fright that I was just gripped with is really deserving to me. Why the Avri Adrame? Because I violated, I transgressed Rav Meir's halacha, says never take a haircut from a guy, even, right? Asks the Gemara, Adrav, Adravon Le Avar? He wasn't only violating Rav Meir. He was transgressing the Rabbanan's Isra as well, because Amor, Ema Dom Rabbanan, when do Rabbanan allow? Which is a Rabban, when it's off the main street, when you're in full public view, which serves as a protective measure. Which is Yachemi Omer, but if it's in private, there's no foot traffic in the area, even they wouldn't allow it. And he was doing it in private. Who suffered? The answer is he figured this wasn't really a secluded area, it was the pathways there, Shvili de Narda, the pathways of Narda, given the Shechichi Rabbim, since there are people, walking by. So it has the status, Kishus Rabbim Damu, it's like, the main street. And therefore, he didn't figure it was in violation of the Rabbanon. But actually, Tosis says that it's not really a place which is frequented by much foot traffic. He says, really, technically, it's not. It doesn't qualify as Shechichi Rabbim, in which case, even the Rabbanon would not allow it yet. But he figured that it's sufficient to address the Rabbanan's concern, but nevertheless, he felt that he should have been more careful and abstained entirely, and that's why he had this pachad, which served as an atonement for availing himself to this danger. So this is regarding a yid getting served by a goy? What about a goy being served by a yid? So now you brought into Avodah Zarah concerns, right? Vavid Kiyochav Mestaper Mi Yisrael. So he can't style that pony, nor can he even get near it. Right? Once it gets near that long pony, you got to pull back. Vekama, how close? Omar of Melchaya, Omar of Adabar Abba, Shav Melchaya quotes Rav Adabar Abba, Shalosh Etzbois, Lechol Ruach V'Ruach. You can't get right near it. Because that would be considered preparing the pony, because you shaved up till there, and now it's highlighted. So you got to stop even before you get to that pony. Three finger widths next to the pony, you got to stop cutting. Okay, so this was related by Rav Melchaya, quoting Rav Adabar Abba. Now, there were six halachas throughout Shas, some relating to defining halachas in a Mishnah or in a Braisa, such as this one. Some were just, you know, standalone, independent halachas, unrelated to a Mishnah and a Braisa. Some were related by, they were all coming from Rav Adabar Abba, but some were conveyed by the Amora that we just quoted, Rav Melchaya, and some by somebody with a similar name, Rav Melchayoi. So which halachas belong to which Amora? Amar Rav Chanina, Breda Rav Iko, the halacha called Shfud, a rod used for roasting meat, Tziyamtev, there's a Mukta issue. That halacha discussed in Maseches Beyah. And the next halacha, Shfachis, a woman, a wealthy woman, who brings in lots of maids into the marriage, she's compelled to work, be forced her to work, do something, engage in some sort of physical activity, because we don't want her to, we don't want boredom to affect her. The gumais, another halacha regarding the adult hair, pubic hair, so if you have the gumais, not only the hairs themselves, can indicate adulthood, even the gumois, the sort of cups, the where the hair grow out of, is also enough. So these three halachas, and shvud is not really a halacha related to a Mishnah, it's a standalone halacha. Shvachis is actually a halacha which does connect to a Mishnah, Maseches Ksubos, and gumois is a standalone halacha, unrelated to a Mishnah or Braisa. In any case, these three were taught by Rav Melchayoi. On the other hand, in the other column, you have Bluris, the halacha that we just learned today, relating to the Goyshe haircut. That's an elaboration on the Mishnah by us, right? Efer Mikle is a halacha that we discussed back in Maseches Makis. So you have really dark, charred ashes. Should not be placed on even a wound for concern that it might appear like a tattoo, like a permanent tattoo. So that's a standalone halacha. And finally, the sixth one is Ugvina, the ban against Goyish cheeses, which we're going to see in the next Mishnah coming up soon. So that's related to a Mishnah. So again, we have Bluris, Efer Mikle, and Gvina. Bluris is on a Mishnah, Gvina is on a Mishnah, Efer Mikle is not on a Mishnah. So these three were related by Rav Melchaya. Okay, so it's three and three. Rav Papa disagrees on one thing. He says Rav Melchaya, whose name sounds like a queen, Rav Melchaya, right? So the Mishnah, the Brais, are considered like queens, because they are, you know, they provide source material for the Gemara, and are considered on a higher level than the halachas related by the Amoraim on their own. So he says, in order to really remember what's going on, who said who, I'll give you a clear formula. Masnis no masnisa. Those facts and halachas that relate to a Mishnah or a Braisa, amongst these six points that we just mentioned, they are coming from Rav Melchaya. So according to him, Rav Melchaya would be connected to anything that's related to a Mishnah. So Bloiris is connected to the Mishnah, right? The pony story. We have Gvina, the cheeses, coming up the next Mishnah as well. But he deletes Efer Mikle, because that's a standalone halacha. That belongs on the other column. That's with Rav Melchaya. So that's swapped with the halacha of Shvachis, which relates to a Mishnah, Maseches Ksubos, So this goes on to Rav Malchiah's column. Okay, so according to Rav Papa, Masnisa, anything related to a Mishnah or Braisa, i.e., Bluris, Gvina, and Shvachis, Rav Malchiah, they come from him. Whereas Shmaitza, standalone, you know, halachis in the Gemara, such as Shvud, which is a Mukta issue, Gumois, related to the Sa'aris, and Afer Mikla, the ash on the wound, those are all coming from Rav Malchiah, Simona. In order to really remember the formula, the breakdown, so you know Masnisa Malkasa, that the Mishnah, the Braises, they're considered queens, and any halachas related to them, amongst these six, relate to Rav Malchiah. My Benayu, any difference in the configuration between Rav Papa and the earlier version? Yeah, he gave now Shvachais. So he switched Shvachais from Rav Malchiah's column over to Rav Malchiah's column because that's related to a Mishnah. Likewise, Efer Mikla, says Rashi, which according to the earlier version related to Rav Malchiah, but since it's not related to a Mishnah, we switch it over to Rav Malchiah according to Rav Papa. Tosfos raises a kasha. He says, how could a man be allowed to be using a mirror? Right, the mirror advised the Yisrael to employ the mirror solution while being served by a geisha barber. Using a mirror for a man, that's a iser. Lo yilbash gever simlas isha. Man is not meant to adorn himself, beautify himself, employ beautification methods typically used by women, such as the use of a mirror. So he says that here he's not trying to beautify himself. He's trying to protect himself from harm. And that would not be usher. He says interesting things. He says he's just trying to, protect himself, or he's trying to get something out of his eye, and so then it's vale mutter. It's certainly okay because it's not meant for beautification. And he says uboichen libois hu yodea, right? Hashem who discerns one's intentions. Uboichen libois hu yodea. He knows what this fellow has in mind. He's looking through the mirror. Is it just to protect? Is it just for technical, practical purposes? Or is it to beautify himself? There are other Rishayim. The Ran, for instance, says that it all depends on the minhag ha-makom. If it's in a place where this type of process, this type of procedure, even men take to it, then he says there's no Isra of Yilbash. For instance, he says if it's common for men to make use of a mirror, so then it's no longer considered something unique to women and is not covered by the Isra of Yilbash. So in Halach, in fact, the Shulchan Aruch says a man may not use a mirror, but the Ramah says, basically mirroring this opinion of the Ran and other Rishonim, he says if it's common for men to make use of a mirror, in which case it's no longer usur. Some bring that it's a midas chasidus, the way of the righteous, to abstain regardless. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Elu dvarim shelo'ev dekicham. So the following items, foods, of goyim are usur, asurin. V'isurin isur hanoa. Not only can you not, drink his wine, you can't even have benefit. Even personal benefit from that item is asur. What are these items? Hayayin, wine from a goy. This is universally known as stam yenam. Stam yenam. So even though the wine was not known to have been used, offered, poured to an avodah zarah, the chachamim applied an isur on stam yenam for concern that it might lead a person to actually consume that type of wine which was served to Avodah Zarah. And actually, Tosfos learns, brings the Gemara in later on, that there were really two aspects to this Isser. Mishum b'noi sehen, lest it come to intermarrying with the goyim, because, social drinking can bring to closeness of hearts and can lead to marrying, intermarrying with goyim. So that would explain the basic Isser, why you can't drink the wine of a goy. But what about Isser hano? Right? Benefiting from the wine in a different way, that wouldn't lead to, So he says, that's because of the Isser of Yayin Avodah Zarah, of Yayin Nesach, wine which was poured, Yayin Nesach. So there are two elements of concern. One is that it shouldn't, on a personal level. And then there's the concern about the Yayin Nesach. So that's why they expanded the Isser to cover even Hano. Not only may you not drink Goyish wine, but even personally benefiting in any way from the Yayin is Asr, as would be the case if it was really Yayin Nesach, which is Takrevis Avodah Zarah, offering to Avodah Zarah, which is really Asr Bahano'ah as well. Okay, so it applies to wine, Vachemetz, likewise to vinegar, wine vinegar. Shalev Gechavim from a guy, Shalev Mitchilase Yayin. So it started off as wine. The guy kept it until it became vinegar. You can't take that from him because, right, it became Asr. When it was in its wine state, never lost that Isser. As opposed to, says Rashi, as opposed to, if the guy took possession of Chaimetz from a Yid after it had already turned into vinegar, then there's no concern because the guy, says Rashi, would not be Menasek, would not pour vinegar to be dessert. So although it was originally wine, but it wasn't Goyish wine, it was Jewish wine. So once it turns into vinegar, and then the guy takes it, there's no concern. This is a piece of pottery which is permeated with saturated with wine. Whereas Levuvin, you have animal skin with a discernible hole where the heart was. In the heart area, you see a round, we see a hole. Rashi explains this was their practice. They would pull out the heart while the animal was still alive and serve it to Avodah Zarah. So the animal is considered an offering, and likewise the skin of that animal. You can't buy it, you can't use it. Rav Shimon Lil Omer, it depends how that hole is configured. Bizman Shakera Shalai Oglof, the Keraf, the hole is round, which is a sign of Avodah Zarah. Usr, then you can't mush up. But if it's elongated, if it's long, mutter, then it's okay to make use of this thing because it was not used for Avodah Zarah. Basar hanichnas avodes kecham. So the guy is bringing in, delivering meat to the Avodah Zarah. On the way in, mutter, then it's permitted because it hadn't yet been offered, even though it's slated for it, but it's not yet asr. It's asr, but if it's on its way out after being offered, then it's asr. Because, yeah, something which was offered to Avodah Zarah, served to Avodah Zarah, is considered zivchei mesim, the offering to the dead, another euphemism for Avodah Zarah, and has a status actually as a dead person. We'll see in the Gemara, in which case it's asr even bahano, even for personal benefit. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Ha'uchon l'tarfus. So you have a guy on the way into the base of Avodah Zarah. Asr losses v'losses simon. You can't do business with them. Rashi says for two reasons. Don't give him a reason to thank his idol for success in business, and secondly, he might be purchasing item to be used in that context. Vabon matar, if on the way out, so then you can engage them, and there's no concern that he might go back and thank, which is a halacha specific to Yom Eidehim, right? Like we had in the beginning of the Sechta, that's exclusive to a holiday, but otherwise, if he happens to be just walking out randomly from his Beis Avodah Zarah, then it's okay to deal with him. Noidis av dikicham. So you have these leather wine pouches, which were used by a goy for his wine, b'kan kanein, or his pitchers, or his barrels. V'yayin shal yisrael konos behen. Now you have Yiddish wine in that container. Problem is, it extracts. What about the yayin nesach, the yayin stam yayinim that were in the walls of that container that got extracted into the permissible content? So now it's mixed in with the Yiddish wine. Asurin v'yisurin isra. No, you can't drink that wine, and it's even asur for hana. It's treated like goyish wine because it's mixed in. They say no, since it's not the yayin of the goy intact. It's just a little bit of a mix, right? So it's not intact anymore. It's not right. So then, although it's usr, but only for drinking purposes, not for other types of hanah. Likewise, chatzanim v'hazagim, chatzanim are the pits, the grape pits, of the grapes used in the processing of geisha wine, v'hazagim, or the grape skins, Shelo de kechav asurim, v'yisurim yisrael. No, you can't benefit from it, you can't use it. Tiver rabbi yavacham oimrim, lachin, if they're still moist, and you still have that wine content, asurim, yeah, then they're asur. But evasion, if once they've been dried up, after, you know, past 12 months, then there's no discernible moisture in them, they're like just a piece of dry wood, mutarin, then they're fully okay. Hamurias, you have this fish juice in which they would mix in some wine. Ugvinas Beisunaiki, or the cheese made in this town, Beisunaiki, shalag the kacham from the goyim. Asurin, Yisurin Yisarno, they're usher for consumption or for any benefit. Or they're usher for consumption, but any suron, Isra Hano, there's no Isra Hano. Om Rabido, Shal Rabbi Shmuel, and later on we'll see in the Mishnah, later on the Gemara, what exactly is wrong with the cheeses coming from right from these places. Amar Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda related a story that one time Shaul, Rabbi Shmuel asked, he asked who? As Rabbi Yeshua. When? Kshei Malcha Maderech, they're walking along the road. Amar Loi, he says to him, I have a question. There's a Mishnah which says that you can't consume a cheese made by a guy. Why? What's the reason that they forbade us from partaking in the gvinois of the Adi Kecham? Amrullah, he says, I'll tell you why. Because the curling agent that they use is non-kosher. They curdle it, they produce it, the keva, with the enzyme content found in the keva, in that fourth stomach, shall nevela of a dead animal. So it's not kosher, and therefore the cheese is not kosher. Amrullah, so he said, how could that be the reason? We find elsewhere that this keva material found in oila, a carbon, which is certainly asur bahana, right? It's chamura mikevas nevela. In a way, it's more strict, more stringent, more severe than just a nevela. A nevela, a carcass, cannot be eaten, but you could have benefit from it. There's no isur hana, like a oila, which is even asur bahana. And still, the chachamim allowed a kohen to drink down that material without an issue. Apparently, it's not deemed part of the actual animal. It's called pirshabam. It's a separate entity. It's like waste coming from the animal. It doesn't have the same status as the mother animal. Likewise, even though it's extracted from a nevela, it shouldn't have the same status as a nevela. It should be mutter. And Amru, and they said, koyin shadata yafe, we have a koyin, the strong mind, meaning not a very finicky fellow. He has no issue drinking down this animal stuff. Sir v'chai, you could just swallow it uncooked, meaning as is. Now the Chacham didn't go that far to allow a kohen to drink it. Avol Amru, they said, look, technically it's not part of the animal. If he should partake in this thing, he wouldn't be committing me'ila. Min ha-Torah, it's not considered like he's diverting the animal for personal use. But it's asur mid-rabbanan, lest it lead to other things. Einen, you shouldn't be having any benefit from it. V'lo me'alam, if he does so, technically he has not committed me'ila. Bottom line, you see, it's not really deemed part of the animal. Likewise, why can we consume cheese produced by a guy despite using this keva of an avela? It's just a pirshabam, it's just animal waste. It doesn't have any status of food, right? Amalek, he says, you're right. Ibn Shamamidin Oisa, the kevas egli, avoides kecham. Rather, the reason is because they use keva, they use the material from Avodah Zorah calves which were offered Avodah Zorah, and that's a whole different story, because the added material, whatever it is in the animal, even if it's this keva business, it enhances the look of the animal, makes it look more impressive, more plump. So it is deemed part of the Avodah Zorah offering. It gets that, it's labeled as Takrevus Avodah Zorah, in which case it's Asur Bahana. And since the goyim use that to make their cheese, subsequently, the cheese is asur b'hana as well. Amar Leih is old. If so, it should be asur b'hana. Im kein, if that's the reason, lama lo yisro b'hana. Why did they limit it to isra achilo? You can't eat it, but you can have hana. If it's avodah zarah related, it should be asur b'hana. So that was his question, and he didn't respond. He veered off to a different topic. Why? The Gemara will tell us that he wanted to avoid the subject for now because it was a new takana, new gzera, new enactment, in order to protect the enactment from any opposition. They wouldn't really elaborate on the reason behind this, so that it gets established, it gets absorbed firmly, and then later on we'll discuss it. So he didn't want to get into it. He sealed Davar Acher. He changed the subject. Amar lo, he says to him, Yishmael, Achi, my dear Yishmael, I have a question for you. I was learning Shir the other day. How do you read this pasuk? Hey chata koyre. It says, Ki toivim doidecha miyoyim. So your closeness to me is sweeter than wine, right? Better than wine. Now who's speaking to whom? We know that Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kadoshim. It's a narration of a very intimate discussion between Klal Yisrael, Hashem's beloved nation, and Hashem, right? So we have back and forth between Hashem to Klal Yisrael, and a response from Yisrael to Hashem. So who's speaking in this pasuk? Who's expressing endearment to whom? Is it Hashem to us? So you would read it Kitevim Deidaya, but Klal Yisrael is like the woman, like the wife, like the Nekeva to Hashem. Or is it Kitevim Deidecha? In male form, it's us referring to Hashem. Your closeness is very dear to us. Kitevim Deidecha Miyayin? Or Kitevim Deidayich Miyayin? Amar lo, he responded, Kitevim Deidayich. It's Hashem speaking to us. Amar lo, he says, no, it's incorrect. Ein Adavar Kein is incorrect. But look at the next pasuk. You see, it's us speaking to Hashem, praising Hashem. Sherech Haver Melevet Olav. We have an indication through the next pasuk, L'reach Shmenecha Toivim, your scent is amazing, and referring to Hashem, Alkein Alamos Hevucha, so Klal Yisrael, the Nekeva, has liking to you, Alamos, so we see it's Hashem being addressed by Klal Yisrael. Okay, we'll see in the Gemara exactly a deeper meaning behind this. In any case, let's backtrack to the first item in the Mishnah, Goyish wine. Right, so yain stam yainam, is also even bahano. And as we explained from Taisvis, there are two concerns of keeping that social distance, and the isra'no component was based on the fact that yain nesach, wine which was actually offered and poured by the zara, has a status of zivchei meisim, and is also bahano. Where's the source for that? Yayin menolam. That it's asur bahano. Amar Rabba bar Abu Amar Kro, Ashachelav zvachem yochelu, yishtu yayin nesicham, that by Zara is offered animals, zvachem is offered wine. So the different types of offerings, they all have a status of takrevis by the Zara and are asur bahano. Right? So we connect the wine to the animal offerings. Ma zevach asur bahano, just like the animal offerings, is asur even bahano. Af yayin am yasur bahano. Likewise, wine offered by the Zara is asur even to benefit from it. How do we know that an animal offering has that status? So when they succumb to the Avodah Zarah, right? And they partook in the parties there, the karbonis that were offered to Avodah Zarah, and the pasuk calls it Zivchei Mesim, dead offerings. So Avodah Zarah is compared to a dead person, because Avodah Zarah is a dead entity, it's not a living being, it doesn't, right? But here we have a deeper connection, a halachic connection. Ma meis asur bahano, just like a person who passed on is asur bahano. One may not take anything or have anah from a meis. Av zevach nami asur bahano. Likewise, the zevach of zara has the same status. No, how do we know meis gufi minol? How do we know that a departed person has that status? Asya sham meglal rufa. We connect it through a gzera shava, using the words sham from the calf that was beheaded, which is also asur bahano. Ksiv ha'cha v'tamas sham miriam. We have miriam hatzadek and miriam aviyah, who passed on, and we have the word sham, ksiv hasam. And we have the same word by the egla rufa, arfur sham asa egla benacha. Just like over there, ma'alahal, just like by the egla rufa, it's asur to have benefit from it, bahano, afkan here as well, by a person who passed away, nami asur bahano. Vasa menol, how do we know the egla rufa is asur bahano? Right? So this is an ongoing chain. How do we know the source item is asur bahano? Amrit ve'rav yanai. So it was learned in the base manager of Yanai, Kapara, because over there we have Lashon Kapara, Kapar no Amcha Yisrael, right? So it has a similar Lashon to a carbon. Ksiba is related to the, that Lashon is of Kapara, is written by the Ba, by the Egla Rufa Kachem, similar to Karbonais. So just like a carbon, Asur Bahano, likewise Egla Rufa, likewise a mace, likewise Zivche Mesim, the offering instead of a Dezara, just like the animal offering, likewise the wine as well. So wine actually offered by dessert, also bahanom in a Torah. By extension, any Goyish wine is asur midrabbana b'hanoah as well. But that's only if it's really wine. What about the wine vinegar, which had already fermented? V'achoymetz, shlok gilchavim. So it all depends. How did the guy get the vinegar? If he got it from a yid, that's fine. Because vinegar itself doesn't really do the trick. He wouldn't offer it to avodah zarah. But shohem et chilos ayayin. If it started off as wine in his possession, and then it turned to vinegar, it already became usher when it was in its wine state by the guy. Asks the Gemara Pshita, obviously, Mishum da Achmetz, just because it turned vinegar, Pakali Yisuri, how would it lose its isser? Why does the Mishnah have to spell it out? Well, the chaymetz in the hands of the guy is usher because it was wine. Well, obviously, if it was wine, then certainly it would stay usher, even if it turns into chaymetz. Why even have to mention that a chaymetz is usher? Amar of Ash, you're right. To tell you that goyish produced wine vinegar is usher is obvious. That's not the point of the Mishnah. The point of the Mishnah is to tell you a heter, to permit something. Amar Rav Ashi, the point of the Mishnah is to teach us chaymetz shalanu, that if the goy got a hold of straight vinegar, that can't become usher because he wouldn't use that vinegar in the avodah zarah context. And likewise, chaymetz shalanu, a yiddish chaymetz, can be stored in the hands of a guy. It's given to the guy for, you know, safekeeping. You don't have to be overly careful about it. You don't have to make that double seal to ensure that it doesn't tamper with it. One seal is enough. As long as you seal it one time, it's sufficient to ensure its integrity. Why? Because if to be used as nesech for the avodah zarah, he wouldn't do it. Le'manaskei, vinegar doesn't provide the goods, so he's not tempted to forge your, you know, signature, your seal, and to use it for avodah zarah. V'mishum echlufi, what about just plain swap? Rashi says perhaps he's tempted to take his inferior quality and switch it with your better quality. Well, once it's difficult, he's not going to bother. Even the kachosim, if it's one. One seal, leitarach mazayv, he's not going to trouble himself to forge it to cover his tracks. So since he's not really tempted, he's not really driven, because he can't really use it for the avodah zarah. So one seal is enough to ensure non-tampering. Amar b'lo shaninu, we have halacha the yain mevushal shleib gechavim shoyim et chilasa yain asr. So, although cooked wine is not suitable for offering to Rabbi Dezara, but let's say the guy cooked his own wine. So it was Yain Mevushal, but it was Mitchilas Yain. It started off as plain, pure wine. That wine cannot be taken from a guy. Well, Pshita, obviously, once again, the same question. Because it was once Asr, why would it lose the Isr? Mishum de Ifshus, because it was cooked. Pakali Suri, why would you suggest that it loses its status of Isr? So what's the point of mentioning the halacha? Answers the Gemara, the same as before. The point is not to teach you that it's prohibited, rather it's to teach you a permissibility. Amar Rav Ashi Asasmin is coming to teach you Yayim Mevushal Shalanu. For Yid owned wine. Yid produced wine and then cooked it. Could he pass it on to the guy to look after? Yayim Mevushal Shalanu V'yadav Kicham. Our cooked wine in the hands of a guy. As long as you seal it once, it's okay. Ain't tzarech chaysim say chaysim. You don't have to make that double seal. It's deemed safe even with one seal, because as we said before, imishum ninsuchi, because for the purpose of pouring to avodah zarah le'menaske, it's not suitable because it's cooked. Imishum echlufi. And as to the concern about the guy perhaps swapping it with his own wine for personal, you know, use, one seal will preempt that concern. Even the chaysim echad. Once there's one seal on it, le'tarech mazayif, he wouldn't trouble himself to tamper with it. Okay, let's do a quick recap of today's daf. We had some remedial antidotes for certain conditions. We spoke about things which are healthy, things which are unhealthy. When a person is in a weakened state, haircuts. What about a yid getting a haircut from a guy? According to a mayor, under no circumstances, according to Rabbanon, if it's in public view, or if he employs the mirror solution to ensure his safety. If a yid is cutting a guy, he has to make sure that he's not preparing the blurus for Avodah Zarah. Items of goyim which are asa b'hano, wine vinegar, which had been wine in the hands of the goy, and cheres hadrayani, or is levuvin, things which are Avodah Zarah related, are asur b'hano as well. Something which merely has a little mix of wine, which is not really be'en, we had a machlekes, Ramir says, even asur b'hano, Chacham says only ba'achila. We had the start of a conversation regarding discussion regarding the gvina, why they would be asur and why they would be only asur b'achila not b'hano. The issur of stam yenam is even b'hano based on the chashash of intermarrying and concern of that real yain nesach, which is asur b'hano, just like the animal offerings. It's learned from the psukim and that chain sourcing all the way from the Eglah Rufa, which is Asur Bahano. If a yid produces wine and then ferments it into vinegar or cooks it, in this case it's pretty much safe from the guy, and one seal would suffice. Interestingly, Tosfos brings that you know, this halacha that the chametz is not really suitable for Avodah Zarah, and therefore if a guy touches our vinegar, it wouldn't be an issue. He says not so simple, because Rabbi Natam, you know, he says it's, we're not so bucky, we're not so expert in knowing exactly what's considered wine, at what point, you know, in the process is it deemed chametz and no longer you know, considered an element of wine. He brings also at the end here from Rabbi Meshulam that you know, he says juice coming from these unripe grapes, he says it's not really considered you know, wine. It's not considered. But once again, Rabbi Natam was unhappy. He says we're not really bucky. What's considered a proper grape? What's not? He says, in fact, it was one year when this bashlo hayenos. He says they weren't properly processed, the grapes or the wine, not sure. But in any case, he says, so you mean to say that year, le'yinag oisa ashana, the yayin nesach, they canceled the whole din of yayin nesach, it's unlikely. So he says, you know, these things are not 100% clear, what constitutes wine, what's vinegar, or this and that. He says, better to avoid any, you know, any goyish involvement with these materials. Okay, all the best to you, and atzlacha rabba.